ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनुमपि शचीपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माधुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परजनसहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्विता। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Continuing with the theme about how to successfully do anything, how to be a success in anything, with specific attention to how to successfully write Vaishnava literature and applicable to all fields, both spiritual and material, although everything, almost, well, many things, most things material can be spiritualized if done in Krishna's service. So this can be applied to, these principles can be applied to building a building, making school projects, community projects, building a building such as building a temple, school projects such as Gurukul, community projects, Varnashram projects, making chapatis, ruling over a nation, living one's life. These principles are applicable to anyone. These principles are taken from Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita. Little recap, or going back to the last session, I spoke that we shouldn't want to be a success. Well, not in the material sense, that I want to show myself better than others, but we should want to do things properly. That should be the idea. Our whole life is meant for service, not for the general idea of being a success is I get up above others and they serve me. But realizing that we're always a servant. Even the President of the United States, who's theoretically the most powerful person in the world, is a servant of his nation, which means a servant of the people. And ultimately, everyone, whether they accept it or not, is a servant of God. So whatever we do, we should do things, even materially, we should do properly. It's often frustrating here in India that you have to supervise anyone. If you call someone to polish the tiles, the marble tiles need polishing, or to masons who are supposed to lay brickwork, you have to supervise them. Otherwise, they'll take shortcuts, they'll cheat. Even people who their whole life they live by putting screws in, they won't bother to put them straight if there's no one to supervise them. And you have to, they'll use the cheapest ones possible. Horrible work ethic here in India. The idea of India becoming a superpower should begin with some moral upliftment. Otherwise, the whole world's going to have the Indian culture of putting in screws in, not straight. I mean, for someone who does it 500 times a day, you'd think it'd be the easiest thing in the world. They can do it without thinking to put it in straight, but they just don't bother. Maybe they almost, anyway, I don't want to harp on the subject too much. But we should do things properly, especially if we're going to do things for Krishna, in Krishna's service. We should do things properly. And it can make a lot of difference. For instance, if you try to do something cheaply when you're building a bridge, then there's a high likelihood that within a short time of the bridge might even collapse even before it's finished. But it's a high likelihood of it collapsing shortly after it's commissioned, resulting in loss of life. So it can be essential. Building the temple of Radha Ras Bihari in Juhu in Bombay, eventually the devotees, they called in an affiliate of Larsen and Toubro, which is, and in Mayapur also they call them in, because you trust them to do a good job, although I'm told in Mayapur also, Pundarikaksha Govinda told me, you have to supervise them also. But generally, if you're going to buy an Almira, you buy Godrej and a Fan, Crompton and Greaves, and you expect. But you can never tell, because just like people thought, if you buy a German car, it's going to be up to standard. But then it came out that the German companies are cheating also. What can we say? We should, even materially, if devotees set an example of outstanding achievements, achievement in doing things properly, and that if you say I'm going to be here at, I'll come tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, then you'll be there. Or if there's a devotee, we have a devotee, electric repairer, installer, mystery. The word, do you say the word mystery in Tamil? Similar. So if he does his work very well, and then people may not say, oh, that's because I have this work ethic that we have to do everything properly. And certainly if we're going to establish communities in which all devotees live together, then it's horrible if everyone's just cheating each other and trying to do things in the most skimpy way possible. So we should do things properly for Krishna. And even activities they may do within, if we're grihasthas who are working within the broader community, then if we're getting paid for doing a job, then we should do it properly. That idea should be there. Not to be a success for lucre, that means getting money, or self-aggrandizement, that's the idea. The idea of being a success, which is very much promoted throughout the world, and maybe more in India than anywhere else, we're talking about being a success, but our perspective on success is different. Real success it begins with knowing who we are. and what we're supposed to be doing, why we're here. It's otherwise you can be successful in something of no importance whatsoever. Of course, in the modern world, there are many things of no importance whatsoever which are of assumed importance, or ascribed importance. Sports, even playing chess, which requires high level of intelligence, is of no real importance. You could say, well, if you play sports, it keeps your body fit, but that's intrinsically, it has no importance. So you have a good mind if you're certain, but then if you have a good mind by playing chess, so much endeavor goes into playing chess, if you're going to get serious about it, that what's the point of having a good mind? Use it for something useful. But its importance is ascribed to it. Srila Rupa Goswami doesn't speak about this in his Upadeshamrita. It's assumed that that success means in bhakti, particularly that verse I'm supposed to be dilating on more. Shadbhir bhaktir prasiddhyati. By these six activities, they bring to full success, siddhi, the bhakti. So it's assumed that the reader of the Upadeshamrita knows or accepts that the highest goal is bhakti. And Rupa Goswami does establish that briefly at the beginning of his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Practically these two books, The Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, The Nectar of Devotion, The Ocean of the Nectar of Devotion, they're companion works. And at the beginning, in summary, he gives the why one should adopt pure devotional service. He doesn't actually say that one should do so, but he describes the characteristics of pure devotional service, by which it's assumed that the reader will be convinced that this is what I want to do. Frees one from all distress, the first symptom of pure... Well, that sounds pretty good. Freedom from all distress. Okay, that means merging in the impersonal Brahman. Shubhada then gives all auspiciousness. But the impersonal Brahman, there's no shubha or ashubha. There's no auspicious or inauspicious. And especially as we get to the last of the six symptoms, Sri Krishna Akarshani Chasa Sa. It attracts Krishna. And if you're in the impersonal Brahman, you may not want that. You don't want that, do you? You don't want Krishna to be attracted to you because you think any kind of attraction is maya. So it's assumed. Even in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's to a large extent, although the symptoms of pure devotional service are given at the beginning, it's largely assumed that the reader, the student, accepts this thesis as being desirable. And of course, Rupa Goswami backs up his statements with quotations from the Bhakti Shastras, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's... then if we want to trace back, then we have to go to Srimad Bhagavatam, then we have to trace back to Atato Brahma Jignyasa, then we go to Vedanta Sutras, and then... And then why Brahma Jignyasa? Someone asked that. I'll give a talk on that, Krishna willing. Why not Krishna Jignyasa? Why Brahma Jignyasa? And then why not Dharma Anushasana or Yoga Anushasana? Why not discuss Dharma or Yoga? And we have at the beginning of the Yoga Sutras Atta Yoga Anushasana. Now we'll discuss about yoga. And why? So you can go back, yeah, and then you come back to then you come, if you want to go right the way back, you can come back to this, the beginning of philosophy, but it's already all the philosophy is already assumed. So anyway, whatever one standard of our success is, there are various principles which help one to achieve it. But part of my success would be to convince you that real success means to be Krishna conscious. So I'm working on my project. Anyway, for in all endeavors, prayasa is warned against by Rupa Goswami. Now that's if we take the literal meaning of the word prayasa, it means endeavor. So don't endeavor, but then it has to be understood contextually. in the second verse, is warned about these six things which can completely destroy one's endeavors. And one of them is called prayasa, which means endeavor. But then it has to be understood contextually, as the commentators do, that one should not endeavor for that which is beyond one's capacity, or that is very, very, very difficult to achieve, and the achievement of it, after much difficulty, it's hardly worth it. What's the point? Well, that goes for all material endeavors. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of attempting to build temples when one doesn't have the wherewithal to do so. And Srila Prabhupada himself did that, it seems, in some cases. But in many cases, in India, when Srila Prabhupada was offered land for his devotees to come and start a project, in several cases he said, no, we don't have the manpower to do it. Or what's the point? It's some small plot of land in some small village, a remote village, and why should we send people there to develop? Now we might do so, now the movement is more developed, but at that time, it wasn't the, even though it was an opportunity to do something which would be in the service of Krishna, but strategically speaking, at that time it wasn't the best thing to do. So one is setting goals that are realistic. For instance, someone at the age of 12 growing up in New York City and is 3 feet 10 inches high, not very tall, and wants to be a basketball star. Doesn't make any sense unless they invent midget basketball. So it doesn't make sense. To be a basketball star, you have to be tall, taller than Gokulchandra. Many Montenegrins are basketball champions. They've got an advantage over others. Of course, they could be dribbling underneath and then the tall ones couldn't get down to you, but I don't know if they ever brought that in yet. Or someone as skinny as me wants to be the world heavyweight boxing champion. Well, I wouldn't even qualify by weight or any kind of boxing champion. There is welterweight also. But anyway, you get the idea. We should know our limitations and act within them. Not everyone can be acceptable in everything. I said how to be successful in anything, but that doesn't mean that everyone can be successful in everything. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, everyone can be successful. That's the great gift of Krishna consciousness, because inherently, innately, everyone is Krishna conscious. So it's possible for everyone, however much one is apparently handicapped by sinful thoughts or material entanglement, it's possible for everyone. But it's not possible for everyone. Say I'm 63 years old, and I want to become a champion in anything. Chess champion would be hard at this time of life. You have to start young. Anything, basketball, soccer, anything. To succeed in one field generally requires to start young. Srila Prabhupada started his preaching of Krishna consciousness later in life. If we take from an external point of view, many of the skills that he brought to his task, he'd developed them throughout his life. But the general thing, if you want to do something, Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes time. Therefore, one has to have patience. I've already discussed this. Specifically speaking about writing Vaishnav literature, if one doesn't have a basic writing ability, of course anyone can learn to write better, but that basic writing ability should be there. And generally people won't aspire to be a writer unless they have some writing ability. It's not the kind of thing. Being a basketball star, that one may desire to do that because of the social ethos one is raised in, where the kids on the block are all mad about basketball. But to be not that many are that much interested in being a writer. Of course, if one is born of parents who are writers, they may want you to be a writer. That's but the basic idea is that one should see what one's God-given gifts are. Everyone has some abilities, more in one line than another, and develop them. Not everyone can be an Einstein in terms of scientific abilities, but everyone can be a saint. Yes. Everyone can be a saint. Who's the most despised person in the world at the present time? Unsaintly. For being a It used to be in America, Charles Manson. I don't know if you heard. Have you heard of his name? Yeah, maybe he must be mentioned in the Veda base somewhere, because that was at the time of Prabhupada. Someone must have mentioned him. He was a cult leader and murderer, and still is. He's still alive in prison in California. Could he be a saint? Yes, he could be. Of course, he'd have to want to be. Everyone can be. In Bombay, still there is one disciple of Srila Prabhupada. As a young boy, he was in and out of prison for petty crime, pickpocketing. And one time in prison, he saw a newspaper with a photo of Srila Prabhupada, and he had some expensive gold watch on. So he thought, when I get out of prison, I'm going to go and steal his watch. I'm going to go and find him at the center. So he went to the center, and by the grace of the Giriraj Maharaj and the devotees there, and he actually became a devotee. And He's still a devotee. Do you know who his name is? Haridas. ITV Haridas. So everyone can be a saint. Everyone has the potential. You and I and anyone else can be a saintly person. Anyone who tries to be Krishna conscious. Verse 1 of the Upadeshamrita gives the indication how you can conquer the world in any field. You could be a chess champion. Again, remember, don't endeavor for that which is beyond your capacity. If you can't even remember how the pieces are moved on the board, the rook moves along the regular lines and the bishop moves along the diagonals and the pawn moves forward one at a time and so on. You all know. If you can't memorize that, then forget being a chess champion. But if you have the basic ability, God-given, in a particular field, you can conquer the world. Prithivīṃ sa śiṣyāt. You can bring the whole world under your control, this states. Or, as Śrīla Prabhupāda translates it, if one has these qualities, then one is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So what are the six things? You know, vācho vegam. One has to control the tendency to speak. It doesn't mean becoming silent, but it means employing the tendency that we all have to speak in a way that is meaningful. And again, according to what you consider to be a success, that will vary. If you want to be a chess champion, for instance, then one should discuss with others about chess. One should keep focused. If one wants to be a devotee of Krishna, highly recommended. One should speak topics which are suitable for developing one's devotion to Krishna. And there will be other topics also related to living in this world. Eating, sleeping, living comfortably or protected from the elements. It would be some discussion is needed at the goshala, the cow pen or whatever. The wall fell down. Was that your homemade? No, it was an old wall that was there previously. The wall fell down due to the storm last night. Was it last night's storm, or the storm 3 days ago? 3 days ago. So then we're going to be Krishna conscious. So, okay, only talk about Krishna. But the wall needs repairing, and we're going to have to talk about how to repair it. And talking about, we don't find anywhere in Shastra you should discuss about repairing walls. But if in this circumstance, if you don't discuss about repairing walls, and not just discuss but go and do it, then you would be lacking in your service to Krishna. So in this circumstance, talking about repairing the wall is controlling the tendency to speak. Of course, one has to be careful not to bridge out. People go and live in Vrindavan, or Mayapur, or holy place. so that they can minimize their talking about other subjects or even making arrangements. Because in Vrindavan, if you go, hopefully you, if you're going to be a sadhu, you can find a place to stay. Someone will give you a place to stay. And arrangements will be there for food, minimal. And one should live like a bird. Isn't that right? That's in Vrindavan, that's stated. In the Bhagavatam, where is that? In the Brahmaragit section, that many people come. They left their homes and went to Vrindavan to live like birds. What is that? A bird, they don't make elaborate arrangements, but they live by the grace of God. So people go to holy places so they can minimize all material talks and activities and simply concentrate on bhajan. But we are a preaching movement, and then we're involved in so many things in the world. So we have a tendency to discuss, or a need to discuss so many things concerned with the world. If we're going to engage with people in the world and discuss things with them that are of their concern, our concern is Krishna and serving Krishna. We want to bring them to the platform of Krishna consciousness, being concerned with Krishna. But to do that, we're going to have to show how their concerns are fulfilled by Krishna consciousness. Their concerns, or we may try to convince them that their concerns are not real concerns, not really important at all. That we may do also. People are concerned very much at the present time about the COVID-19 pandemic. So what should we tell them? Well, we can tell them, cover your face, but everyone else is telling them that. We may say, yes, do this and that. But what have we got to say about that? How do we understand this? If there is God, then why is he giving so much suffering? So we can discuss these things. Actually, it's more difficult to discuss anything with people nowadays because of the pandemic, and we're not allowed out. We're locked down, thrown down, and lid closed. Although it's easing up, we're told. But anyway, that's just an example. Controlling the speaking tendency. It gives the idea also of focus. That if we're going to be successful in something, we can't discuss so many other things. So in Krishna consciousness, we want to discuss things which are relevant to awakening our love for Krishna. And there may be so many other things which will come up, but it should be discussed within the context of how we are serving Krishna. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam manasa. The mind, the tendencies of the mind, chanchalang hi mana Krishna pramati balavadrudham. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayar iva sudushkaram. The tendency of the mind is to be like the wind blowing here and there. Arjuna very perceptively commented. Because Krishna had described to Arjuna the yoga process for controlling the mind. We have in yoga the yamaniyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara. So pratyahara, withdrawing the senses. Dharana, fixing the mind. So this is very difficult, the pratyahara, withdrawing the senses. Withdrawing the senses, that's already done by yamanayama, asana. That's already done. If one's sitting in one place, and of course one's not always sitting in one place, therefore there's yama and niyama, how one should live one's life, but sitting in one place, that means one is not engaging with the senses, only the breathing, and that's also very much control. But then withdrawing the senses, but the difficult part is not so much as we all experience. It's not so much withdrawing the senses from active sense engagement as controlling the tendency to desire that or think about that. It's relatively easy to not engage in illicit sex life. It's much more difficult to stop the desire for that or thinking about that. So it's very difficult to control. However, the mind is very difficult to control. However, if we can control it, then we're well on our way to being successful. Now we may say, well, if it's more difficult to control than the wind, then how are we going to be successful in anything? Because who can control the wind? No scientist has even dreamed of any program to control the wind. They can predict now there's going to be a typhoon coming. They can make some, but then how to stop? They can give some guidelines how to cope with it, which is get the hell out of there. That's the joke. Evacuate people. No, they can give some idea like that, but oh, there's a typhoon coming. Okay, flip a button. Okay, typhoon stopped. No one's even dreaming of that. So how are we going to stop the mind? Well, that's practically the whole project of Buddhism, isn't it? It's stopping means turning it off. Just turn it off. That typhoon is coming, switch it off. Not just switch it off, but make it cease to exist altogether. That's the Buddhist project. Very difficult to conceive of, even, how you can just stop thinking. And then the Buddhists will try to convince us that, well, there's nothing really there to be stopped. And when you realize with your mind, is it? You realize that there's nothing really there, then the whole process of the mind, which doesn't really exist, which makes things come into being by the thought processes coming to being, just stop, and then being stops. And there are various techniques like that, just like sitting up straight, and if you fall asleep, getting beaten. And that helps you to realize that. Inexpressible. Anyway, whoops, I got Buddhisted it out. I can't think what to say. Okay, so the Krishna conscious success formula for controlling the mind is Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayoho, to fix the mind on Krishna. And again, if you want to be a chess champion, you have to focus. It's not that you just go once a week. I go to the chess club. I know how to play chess. You move this one there and this one there. I know how to do it. But you're going to have to really get absorbed in the intricacies of it. If you're going to, you have to eat, sleep, drink, and dream of chess. The grandmasters, they know the opening gambits of dozens of opening gambits. So when you, if you see chess masters, one goes something, the opening, white, pawn to queen four, and then the other one does pawn to queen four, pawn to king four, and or something, and then the other one immediately responds, and they go on like that for the first few minutes without even thinking about it. How one opens, how to respond, and then what do you do? And then they're all, they've already memorized dozens of opening gambits. Which is quite a noetic feat. So it's a lot of work. And you can't do it if you're sitting with your feet up watching cartoons on TV. Or even for that matter, watching historical documentaries on TV. One has to focus. So the words, the mind has to be focused. One has to be, the idea that the mind has to be focused means one really has to be committed to do this. You can't be a success without focus, you can't be focused without commitment, you can't be committed unless you're really sure that you want to do it. Right? Whatever it may be. It may not be one may not have thought about it philosophically. For instance, if you're walking in a field and then you turn around and you see there's a bull charging at you, then you don't do a whole philosophical ratiocination of how I should run away. Let's sit down and think about whether I should run away or not. But you run away. And you're really convinced that that's what you want to do. And if some philosopher comes up to you and says, you're not the body, it's not the best time to discuss you're not the body to someone who's running away from a bull. Especially he'll run past you and the bull will get you instead. There might be other things you could do also, like grabbing a stick, running at the bull. Did you ever think of that? Running toward the bull, and when the bull's in front of you, just jump to the side and then keep on running the other way. That's also a possibility. Getting some grass and smiling. There are other things you could possibly do, but at the time, you don't think about it. So, mana, krodha vegam, anger, the force of anger. By anger, anger sets in a whole psychological chain by which one is completely destroyed. The intelligence, buddhinasha, the intelligence becomes spoiled. And one's whole life is spoiled. How many people's lives have been spoiled by a fit of anger? Go to the prison and see. People who in a fit of anger kill their husband. So I was going to say kill their wife, right? Well, in a fit of anger they might kill their husband. Or kill their dog. In America you probably go to prison for killing your dog. In a fit of anger, you do something which you regret and which spoils your whole life. So to use the example of chess again, you get fed up of the player you're playing with breathing garlic-flavored breath at you and burping. And in a fit of anger, you pick up your queen and throw it at his head. And then you're banned from chess. So Anger. Narottam Das says, what is it? Krodh Kibanakare. I can't remember exactly. Due to anger, what can one not do? One completely loses one's intelligence. So one should control anger. Srila Prabhupada comments that anger is to be properly utilized, is not to be stopped altogether. There is a proper usage of anger. For instance, if we hear that someone is torturing children, we should be angry. Definitely the mother of the child, she may do herself. That's symptom of the modern age, that these kind of things happen. There are times when when to not be angry would be inappropriate. So we should know how to use that constructively. In general, one should not succumb to anger. But that can be used constructively also. And of course the example is given of Hanuman angrily burning Lanka. One should be angry if he hears the Supreme Lord or his devotees blasphemed. There is a proper usage for anger. Proper usage for all propensities. And again, Narottam Das sings, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Nijukta Karyabho Sthane Sthane, I believe it is. All these calm, crowd, love, desire, anger, greed, they can all be used in a proper way. and instead of becoming destructive, they become constructive. So basic formulae for success, but then understanding them may take some more depth also. Calm, and then what do we have? Manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, the tongue, the propensity of the tongue. Now we spoke about speaking, which is obviously a propensity of the tongue. Another propensity of the tongue is to enjoy nice foods and in this way cause harm to oneself. Cause harm by overeating or taking food that is not conducive to one's health. Just like it's well known, everyone in India knows, I don't think in the West anyone knows, that when you have a cold you shouldn't eat yogurt. Or in cold weather, that's something that happens north of Telangana or up in Karamandurai. But for you who are living in Salem, cold weather, it's something you've heard about. So in cold weather, one shouldn't eat yogurt. You didn't know that? You know that? Didn't know it. Okay. Then we get more to the tat-tat karma parvartanat. But out of the desire to, oh, but I like yogurt, so I got a terrible cold and cough, but I like yogurt so much, so let me take 1 kilo of yogurt. It's foolishness. Because immediately the flavor is very nice, but the result is very bad. And then these three things are in a line, as mentioned by Rupa Goswami. The tongue, the belly, the tongue, the stomach, and the genitals. Because when one packs the stomach with food due to indulging the tongue, the first effect is that the momentary pleasure that one gets from the samsparsha, that word is there in Bhagavad Gita, yehi samsparsha. The touch of the sense object with the with the sense. There is a momentary pleasure, but then one has to suffer stomach ache or minimally discomfort, or gas. One may also suffer the social censure for being a glutton. And that also gives rise to sexual desire, which in spiritual life, that can also be used in Krishna's service. But one has to be very careful. Playing with fire. Fire is very useful. It's also very dangerous. So sex life is also required in human society. I don't think we have to elaborate too much on that. Anyone who disagrees, then we can ask you to go and censure your father and mother. And actually, if you do disagree, then maybe your father and mother shouldn't have begotten you in the first place, if you're so foolish, if you think there's no place for sex life in human society. But wanton, uncontrolled engagement in sex life is a great obstacle to being successful in anything except being a lecher. And being a lecher is not being a success. So these things are to be controlled. The tendency of the tongue to desire tasty foods can be controlled by offering nice food to Krishna and having the resolve to take only food offered to Krishna. I'm not sure now, but it used to be very common in the Western world, common, universal practically, all the devotees who joined, they were very much enamored by Krishna prasada in the form of food. And if someone came to the temple and they loved the food and they ate a lot of it, we generally take that to be a sign, this person's going to become a devotee. Because it's not just the taste, there's some attraction to Krishna prasada. So anyway, when I was fairly new in the movement, I like prasad, so it's so good. And then I got the opportunity, or I asked for that, to cook daily for the deities, Radha, Gokula, Ananda, and I believe later it was Radha Landanishwara. Cook for the deities. Then I was all the time meditating on all these nice foods. But the meditation was completely different to that of how I will enjoy. And then asking the other devotees who cooking, what did you cook, what did you cook? And thinking of some different things to cook for them. And every day cooking different things. So that tendency becomes overcome. The tongue, belly, and genitals, as they're in a line. If one can control the tongue, then the other two, which are very difficult to control, it becomes controlled. Koribari jiba joy shraprasad anadilo bhai. To control the tongue, which is very difficult to control, Krishna has given food, mercy. So tongue and genital can be used in Krishna's service by those who are in the Grihastha ashram only for producing, with the aim of producing Krishna conscious children. So in this way, if one can control all the urges of the senses, then he can be successful. Specifically in Krishna consciousness, one engages the senses in the service of the master of the senses. And that is so central to bhakti that it is the very definition of bhakti. One of the definitions of bhakti given. Rishikesha sevaya bhakti ruchate. And of course, sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. That's also included in the package. Being free from mundane designations and without any personal desire, being engaged in the service of the Supreme, who is Hrishikesh, the master of the senses. Hrishikesh, Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Sevanam. That is called bhakti. And in any field also. In doing some specific tasks for Krishna, writing for Krishna, one has to be Krishna conscious. I'll discuss that will come more in the discussion of the next verse. Tat tat karma pravartanat. One has to follow. There are certain processes one has to follow. Building a temple for Krishna, one has to focus on it. If one is thinking how I will eat nice food, and that becomes a major source of one's meditation, then the intelligence required to execute all the multifarious tasks, Krishna may not give that. Intelligence comes from Krishna. And within any other subject also, you want to be a chess champion, then you can't be a glutton. Maybe being a basketball champion, you may have to eat a lot because it requires a lot of physical energy. But still, you have to watch your diet. You just can't eat anything and everything. You have to eat a diet that is suitable, which consists of lots of meat, right? No. There's some documentary. I didn't watch it, but my attention was called to it. That's on Netflix, I think, is it? Of Arnold, whatever his name is, Schwarzenegger or something like that. Is that how you pronounce it? I got it right, almost. Jai. After 30 years. Arnold, whatever his name is, and others who are famous for their physique, among other things, saying that the best diet for a sportsman is vegan diet, I think they're promoting. So it's not necessarily that one has to eat lots of meat, as is generally thought to be successful in sports. So the point is there are so many considerations if you're going to be a success. I think I'll be a success. But there's so much, one's whole life has to be regulated. The activities of one's senses and one's mind and one's intelligence and one's eating, everything has to be taken into consideration. It's not easy, but if you think it's worth it, then go for it. We're going to have to follow all these things. And it'll work, whatever field you're in. There are formulae, but it's not just by sitting around and dreaming about it. There are certain disciplines one has to follow to be a success in anything. And certainly in the spiritual line, which culminates in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Then next session, we'll discuss another verse. Going through these points. If you do these things, you'll be a success. You have the possibility to be a success. Ultimately, it's not in our hands. But there are certain things which we do, which we're more likely to be successful. And it's not that everyone who tries to be a billionaire becomes a billionaire. But everyone who's a billionaire has done certain things, unless you win a lottery or something. That's not a good way to be. I mean, if you're trying to be a billionaire, it's not a good idea to buy a lottery ticket. There are certain things one has to do, and definitely in Krishna consciousness, you have to. If you do, you have a heightened chance of being successful. If you don't do, you're not going to be successful. focus. Hare Krishna. Vanja kalpatrubhyascha kripasi patitan